Welcome back. My next guest is our very own Luke Jones here, Baltimore Positive, WNST, and all that great stuff. Luke, welcome in.
Dennis, how are you, my friend? Merry Christmas. Happy holidays.
Thank you, my friend. I'm fantastic. Merry Christmas to you and your family, and happy holidays as well. No shortage of storylines to talk about these parts, particularly when it comes to the Baltimore Ravens, right? There's some good stuff. Pro Bowl players, six of them, I believe. The injuries continue to mount. Devin Duvernay now out for the season. Ravens were able to snag one Sammy Watkins off the free agency of their roster. So tough press conferences for John Harbaugh, Greg Roman and company. Fan base up at arms. You would think this team is 5-9 right now, Luke, versus 9-5.
No question. I was just going to say to you, you have to keep reminding yourself they're 9-5 and they're going to make the playoffs. They have, what, 10 different scenarios this week. And keep in mind, there's two more weeks after that. So they're going to be in the playoffs. There are still things to like about this football team. However, I think it also would be disingenuous to ignore some very real concerns about this football team and where they're going. And, you know, starting with the fact that, you know, there was national reports at the start of the week of optimism with Lamar Jackson, targeting this week to return. And, you know, unless we see him practicing extremely late in the week, which then you start to question, you know, are you going to put him out there after only a practice or only a walkthrough? You know, it's looking like he's going to miss another game, which, you know, I think is fine in the sense of, you want to be careful, but when you start hearing reporting suggesting he's coming back, okay, is it gamesmanship from the team? Very well possible. Wouldn't be the first time John Harbaugh or others from the organization have done such a thing. But you also wonder, is everyone on the same page in terms of a return timetable? We've talked about it with Lamar Jackson, and I wrote at BaltimorePositive.com the week of the injury that it serves no one's best interest for him to rush back, just knowing what his game's all about, the business aspects of this for either side, quite frankly, where you need to look at this and if anything, err on the side of caution. And, you know, because of what I just said, you know, they have scenarios they can clinch this week. They can clinch, you know, even if they don't this week, they can clinch next week. And certainly they have the final week 18 battle with Cincinnati, which, you know, you're hoping is for the AFC North championship. But you still need to be smart here in a big picture sense, not just for the rest of the season, but certainly for Lamar Jackson moving forward. So, you know, it begs more questions. I think the first couple of weeks, him missing, everyone expected. Now you're into that territory, of course, of, okay, what's the deal? Is it this week? Is it next week? Is this injury more than the Ravens have led on? My goodness, wouldn't be the first time they've done that, right? So you start to ask a few questions. You don't want to be too cynical about it, but I think some healthy skepticism is understandable in that sense. And in the meantime, you're trying to get right on offense. You know, you feel pretty good about the defense. I mean, gave up 13 points last week. You know, wasn't their best showing from a run defense standpoint, but they gave up 13 points. That's good enough to win, or it should be good enough to win. So, you expect Justin Tucker to bounce back. I don't think anyone's too concerned about that. But you look at the offense, and as you mentioned, this latest injury to Devin Duvernay, which I know he had, and we've even mentioned, hadn't looked right for a few weeks. Whether he had a foot issue before or not, I don't know. You know, I asked Chris Horton on Wednesday what happened, because we saw during the viewing portion of practice, us local reporters out there, he wasn't doing much, but I'd be lying if I saw anything happen to him. So, you know, I didn't know if it was something lingering from the game or if he heard it before we were out there or whatever, but he's one of those guys you pointed to in terms of trying to think about this thing from an upside standpoint, right? You know, if this offense gets right, if it's going to be explosive, if it's going to be able to make some hay and make a run in January, I think we all assume Devin Duvernay would have something to do with that, you know, in terms of his versatility and running the ball and things of that nature. And now that's out the window. So as you mentioned, you bring in Sammy Watkins, which I think most of it was just a product of overall frustration, but you're not going to do better than Sammy Watkins at this point, assuming Odell Beckham's not healthy. And I think that's the assumption everyone is making at this point, or he'd already be a Dallas Cowboy the way that Jerry Jones talked about this thing 6 weeks ago. So if it's not Beckham, Watkins knows the offense. You know, he made a handful of plays for them last year. I kind of put him into the DeSean Jackson category. Could he flash and make a play for you at some point? Sure. Why not? Do I think he's going to move the needle in any meaningful way? No, because just like DeSean Jackson, even though he's not as old, durability concerns. But at the same time, he knows your system. He can be brought up to speed more quickly. Is he better than some of the incumbent wide receivers they have? Well, it's an extremely low bar, but I'd say yes. So I wasn't anti that move. I don't think it has any downside. I just don't think it has much upside to it either. But hey, the Ravens are desperate. Dennis, we talked about it throughout the offseason, the wide receiver position. And you know, after Marquise Brown was traded, we kept kind of asking, is that it? Is that it? Is that it? Really? Well, here we are now with Bateman done for the year and now Devin Duvernay done for the year. I guess there's some small chance if the Ravens would make it all the way to the Super Bowl that maybe he could be in play to play then. But I think we just, you know, you kind of have to recognize where they are and hope for the best. And I think in the meantime, you put aside the concerns about the passing game that are going to persist even when Lamar Jackson comes back, but you look at your opponent, much like last week, this is an Atlanta defense that struggles to stop the run. But unlike last week, you'd like to see the Ravens run the ball, run some more until you absolutely force Atlanta to stop it and make you pass. So the Ravens, they didn't abandon the run entirely last week, but they certainly could have run more. I think that's even the kindest way of putting it, especially looking at that drive with 11 minutes to go in the fourth quarter where the Ravens came out and just threw some more. But you got to run the ball. And I think an extra, you know, a late week development that's worth monitoring here. Tyler Huntley showed up on the injury report on Wednesday with a shoulder issue, limited. I'm at this point, I'm not necessarily suggesting he's in danger of missing the game, but you now have a quarterback who wasn't exactly playing at a very high level, who threw 30 times. Yards per attempt was extremely low, much lower than their yards per carry running the ball. You got to go out and run the ball. Make Dean Pease defense, who, yeah, he might have a little bit of a better idea of how to slow this. You go back to when he was Tennessee's defensive coordinator, but you've got to force the Falcons to stop the run on Saturday because this is not a very good football team that they're playing. You know, they're starting a rookie quarterback. I mean, Desmond Ridder, he's got some skills. You know, if you watched the game last week, he's got a good arm. I don't think he knows where it's going at this point, and he's making a second NFL start. You know, this is a game that 2 months ago, if we were talking about this and this set of circumstances, I would say this is a game I feel like the Ravens should win by 3 touchdowns. But considering the current state of affairs, certainly not anticipating that, but it's a game they have to win. I mean, if you don't win this game, boy, all the, you know, whether you're talking about Tyus Bowser on Instagram or, you know, different questions during press conferences, the players and coaches trying to say the right things, but not exactly knowing if you really believe what they're saying. All heck breaks loose if they lose this game on Saturday, and then you're talking about Steelers coming to town and then going to Cincinnati. That's when things really start to tighten up in terms of looking at those playoff scenarios and saying, okay, you still need to get in and, you know, need to get Lamar back, but you need to qualify. So it's just a lot. There's a lot going on right now that, again, going back to what we said at the beginning, they're 9-5. All is not lost. The season is not over, even if you're not overly confident that it's going to be a deep playoff run or anything of that nature. But they need to right themselves. And coming out there Saturday, running the ball at a high level in the way that they have the last couple of weeks, and playing really good defense, that should be enough. And get the win, get out of there, enjoy your holiday, and then come back next week and hope that Lamar Jackson at that point is ready to go with the Steelers coming to town.
Well, this is almost shades of last year, Luke, when they were 8-3. Lamar Jackson goes down with an ankle injury. He's week to week, and we didn't realize that week to week was going to be a season-ending injury. So to me, any information coming out of the castle doesn't hold a lot of water at this point. He's been week to week, and we don't know if this, again, once again, it's a season-ending injury for him. But even with him and the offense, Luke, as constructed, particularly with Rashad Bateman out and Devin Duvernay out, this offense, this team is built to win close games. The problem with that is when you're playing bad teams like the Broncos, the Jaguars, and now the Falcons, it allows them, the Browns, it allows them to hang around. And when these teams get a lead on you, like the Browns, it makes it very difficult to come back with this offense as constructed.
Yeah, no question about it. I think that's why it, as we kind of talk, and we probably didn't emphasize it in our discussion last week, but I feel what's similar about this game is you got to start fast in terms of, I don't mean you jump out to a 20-0 lead. Unless the Falcons are really bad on Saturday and we see a Ravens offense that frankly we haven't seen in at least a month and a half, if not way longer than that, they're not going to do that, but at least get an early lead. I think the last thing you want to happen is, you know, Algier pops a long run, or you know, Desmond Ridder finds Drake London, you know, downfield, and, you know, Brandon Stevens busts the coverage or something. You know, I don't want to pick on Brandon Stevens, but he is going to be filling in for Marcus Peters, and that's notable, even if it's not exactly an explosive Atlanta passing game, to say the least. But they're a team that's built to, just like the Browns, if you give them an opportunity to grab a lead, they'll lean into that. And we saw that with Cleveland. I mean, Deshaun Watson, it's not as though he was that good. He made a handful of plays here and there. They made some plays in the passing game when they needed to. They put together one really good long touchdown drive, which was aided by the Justin Houston face mask penalty. But beyond that, they leaned into their running game. And that's what's tough when you allow a team to do that in the same way that the Ravens did that against the Steelers the previous week. It makes it tough, even for a really good run defense. You know, what had been a great run defense since about week seven for the Ravens this year. So, you know, you let them get an early lead. You know, there's a special teams miscue or something along. You know, we saw some of that last week, and we're going to have Ravens are going to have a new return specialist. So that's going to be worth monitoring. So, you know, you make a mistake, you give them a chance to grab an early lead. Yeah, you know, that's the kind of run game that'll lean into it, and it's a very good run game. Yeah, you know, the Ravens' run defense, which is not going to have Calais Campbell up front most likely. It just makes things. You know, don't want to pump up the concerns about this game, but if you're looking for a path for this game to be dangerous for the Ravens, there you go. You let Atlanta get an early lead, and they can do what they do best then, and keep the ball out of Desmond Ridder's hands, or let him run around a little bit because he does have some athleticism. But you know, the idea is you want to jump out to a lead, you kind of take them out of their game, and then it's a rookie quarterback trying to make plays against a good defense. Whether you think the Ravens' defense is great or not, that's not the issue. It's a good defense at the very least, and you know, it's an all Atlanta passing game that, other than Drake London, doesn't have a lot of firepower right now. You know, they're missing their standout tight end, who's, you know, of course, lost for the year. And I mean, it's, you know, the formula should not be complicated for this game, Dennis. I think there are lots of people who are film junkies, and they'll tell you so much about personnel groupings and mm-hmm. you know, different formations, different alignments, all of that. And that's great. This game shouldn't be complicated. This really should be a game where the Ravens go out there, whether it's Tyler Huntley or whoever's at quarterback, run some more. Run even more after that until Atlanta absolutely stops it. And you get to a point where they're stuffing it, and then you say, all right, yeah, now you need to make some plays in the passing game, and then you cross that bridge when you get to it. But this idea of, you know, if you're envisioning game script and what this game's going to look like, Tyler Huntley or Anthony Brown, or even if Lamar Jackson does play on Saturday, notions of any of them coming close to 30 or 35 passes, that should be a fireable offense. Unless Atlanta does wake up on the right side of the bed and they shut down the run and they force you to throw the ball. Should not be a situation where you're coming into this game thinking, oh, we're going to be really balanced today. No, you should be thinking this is the kind of game that if it goes the way you want it to, you're running the ball 45, 50 times over the course of a 60-minute ball game.
You know, we talked about Greg Roman sometimes looks like he lacks feel for certain situations, feel for the game. I remember 2 years ago against the Tennessee Titans when J.K. Dobbins was the rookie, and you could just tell he wanted the ball. He was running well. They stopped feeding him the rock, and here come the Titans back with Derrick Henry, took the Ravens in deep water and drowned them. And they had plenty of time in the fourth quarter against the Browns, and it's not like they were getting 5 yards of clip. They were getting 25 and 37. They were getting chunk plays. why not score? We saw the Bengals against the Buccaneers Sunday night, looking listless in the first half, down 17-0. Buccaneers come out. They turn the ball over three or four times in the third quarter, and here come the Bengals storming back. So my point is, had they kept running the ball, put some pressure on Cleveland's offense, the defense was playing well. And then for John Harbaugh to make excuses, I wasn't in on that deal. And I mean, what are you in on? I mean, it's one thing to be the CEO, head coach, or whatnot, and give your assistants a lot of rope. But at some point, it's your ship, and you must have your rudder on your ship. And then you have a timeout, and you come out, and you get a delay of the game penalty, and you blame the headsets. It just can't happen that way, Luke. I don't accept it. I think it's baloney, no matter how thin you slice it. And a lot of the blame for that loss to the Browns falls squarely on the shoulders of that coaching staff for J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards to have one carry between them in the fourth quarter. I don't know how that happens.
Yeah, I mean, and let's be clear, on the very last drive that the Ravens had, I get that at that point. Then sure. Time was really an issue. But the last drive when they took over with 11 minutes to go, no question. I mean, it's just simple, Dennis. And I've how many times have you heard me use a really simplistic comparison here? I've said that the passing game, generally speaking, is more valuable than the running game. Because why? You look at your average passer yards per attempt.
100%.
That is going to be much higher than a team's yards per carry. However, that was not the case on Saturday for the Ravens. Tyler Huntley's yards per pass attempt was markedly lower than what the Ravens were averaging in terms of yards per carry. Their three longest plays of the day, pass or run, were all runs. When you had 11 minutes to go, and to be clear, I'm not even saying that the Ravens had to come out and run the ball every single play either, but you get into second and four like the Ravens were in on that drive, and then you throw three straight times? What are we doing here?
Let's not forget, Luke, that they were out. Jadeveon Clowney went out. So one of their best defenders, right, who we've seen him be a game wrecker. And this is a very poor run defense. Now you take Clowney out of the equation. How much easier would it have been to gain more yards, chunk plays, 12, 15, 20, 30 yards at a time? So perhaps you score in 2 or 3 minutes or 4 minutes or five. It wouldn't have mattered. They needed to get a touchdown in that situation, Luke.
Right. And that's where you come back to. And you heard Harbaugh, you heard Roman talk about this, and I don't want to even say to their credit, because it's such a no-brainer kind of thing. They both acknowledged they could have run more, but at the same time, okay, normally, under normal circumstances where you're talking about an offense that's functioning at least an average level whether you're talking run or pass, yes, throwing the ball is going to be more time efficient. However, Tyler Huntley, and maybe the shoulder was a factor. You know, it was a windy day as well. I mean, Deshaun Watson wasn't exactly pushing the ball down the field a whole lot either. But those dinks and dunks for 4 yards that you're completing, you're not stopping the clock unless you're working the sideline and getting out of bounds in those situations. So, again, time efficiency normally is a valid rationale for throwing in that situation. But when you have a passing game that is broken to the degree that the Ravens passing game is broken, it just doesn't fly. So I hear you. And again, as you mentioned, Jadeveon Clowney, say what you want about, you know, his sack totals and being injury prone, whatever. When he's out on the field and right, he's an excellent run stopper. And as you mentioned, that was not a good Cleveland run defense. That's why bringing it back to the Falcons, you know, this is another team that doesn't stop the run particularly well. So, my goodness, force them to stop the run. And, you know, one thing I will mention that Greg Roman noted, and I actually do agree with him, and I think it is something that we've talked about throughout the season, they have run the ball extremely well between the 20s. They've got to figure out a way to run the ball better inside the red zone. It is something that is still noticeable when they run the ball down the field. And, yes, there are times where they start, you know, they throw it, and you say, okay, they shouldn't throw it. But there have also been times where they've tried to run it inside the red zone and it hasn't looked. So that's something they have to be able to do better. There's no question about that. However, it's not as though your passing game has looked great inside the red zone. So to say that doesn't mean that suddenly you should start throwing it inside the red zone either. It just means, in general, they have to be much better inside the red zone. We've talked about this for the better part of 5 years now, right? I mean, going back to 2018, even when Marty Morningwig was still running the show, when the Ravens pivoted from an injured Joe Flacco to a Lamar Jackson. Run heavy, play defense, Time of possession, even though I still think that's an element that people overrate a little bit, but it's still a factor. I'm not going to say it's meaningless.
It's a factor when you score touchdowns, right? It's not a factor
right.
worked
well, it,
against you if you're kicking field goals or getting blocked field goals or 0 points. So you have to tie in.
Exactly.
And you and I are on the same page on this. When time of possession is great, as long as you're converting it to touchdowns.
And that's the key here. They were what? I think it was it 8 for 10 in the red zone their first three games? It was something very high. I can't remember off the top of my head. Normally, all these numbers I've been looking up as far as how bad things have gone are, clouding my memory a little bit. But
if I'm an offensive coordinator, if my team scores 40 points and our time possession is 20 minutes and we win 40-20, I've done my job. I can care less about
I don't care.
TOP.
Right.
TOP is not a W. It's not an automatic W, especially when you're not converting
no
it
doubt.
To points.
Well, and this lends itself to a point you mentioned, and it's been an ongoing thing. And it was an issue the last few years, but when you score at a higher rate, you're a little more forgiving about it. You know, the play clock issues, you know, whether you're talking about having to take a timeout, whether you're talking about a delay of game, even times where you get the play off. Dennis, are you in an optimal state at that point in time to execute the play when you're rushing? You don't, just like you said about time of possession, you don't get a bonus point because, hey, good job, guys, you avoided a delay of game. No, you need to execute the play. So, I mean, you just look at this thing, and that's where, look, I don't, by no means, do I think this is all Greg Roman's fault? Far from it, because I'll point the finger at Eric DaCosta and the organizational philosophy because of the lack of focus and urgency in making the passing game better, for example, and wide receiver. So, but that said, when you look at the operation on a week-to-week basis and where this thing is trending, where Lamar Jackson is as a player, where he is contractually speaking, the status quo can't go on. And look, I even asked John Harbaugh about the possibility of making changes internally with the staff and who's calling plays and things of that nature on Monday. And of course he shot that down, and that's fine. I didn't expect him to throw Greg Roman under the bus. And personally speaking, yes, I asked that question because that's what fans have been asking. And I think I would be doing a disservice to what my profession is if I didn't ask that question. Personally speaking, the current state of the Ravens right now, as we're talking, going into Christmas and where they are personnel-wise and the fact that you're not going to fix things overnight, I still think Greg Roman is the best for where they stand right now. I don't think there's anyone else on staff that – there's not a Jim Caldwell that you're just going to slide over. So I'm fine with that. I think what they need to do is they're struggling to balance the macro of needing to be better as a passing offense with the micro of you need to win that day's game. I think that was a big problem for them against Cleveland. You hope it doesn't repeat itself in Atlanta. But I think just where they are right now, I think you just have to, you know, it's not the same as Brian Billick in 2000 because, you know, I don't have near the optimism that you can win that way. And certainly this, I think this is a good defense. I'm not at all ready to call it a great defense, you know, because you continue to see lapses at the wrong time. You know, again, they gave up 13 points. I'm not putting it on them. We've talked about the offense our entire conversation. But the point is, nothing else about this team is currently great enough, other than maybe Justin Tucker's last Saturday aside, to really feel like that's going to get you to the promised land. But boy, at some point, you just have to recognize what you are and just say, you know what? This might only give us, maybe our best chance to win one playoff game, and probably not going to get further than that. But, you know, we can't keep trying to think we're going to become something that we're just not, from a personnel standpoint, from a coaching standpoint. And we just need to lean into running the ball and running the ball and running the ball some more. And that's what one thing I asked Greg Roman on Wednesday was flat out, from a physical standpoint, are J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards at a point now where they can take on a bigger workload, meaning they can carry the ball more? And, you know, Roman kind of gave a, half answer. He said, I hope so. It's that time of year where it's really important to be able to do that. They're getting better every week. I have my questions about J.K. Dobbins. I mean, there's still he's fascinating to watch right now, right? I mean, he's so good. His vision looks excellent. He looks – I've used the comparison talking to some people this week, Dennis, that It almost reminds you of a car that's just lacking its highest gear, where he really tries to, a couple of these plays where he's broken into the open field and he really tries to accelerate. It's like he just, he blows out a tire or something.
Sure.
Not that he's injured, but he just doesn't have that gear. And I don't think it's a conditioning issue. I think it's his knee still. I think it's just
I agree.
he's not 100%
I
right.
think it's a 2-year injury you come back from, so hopefully
Yeah.
he suffers no more damage to the knee and he has another off season to
Right.
strengthen it and all the stabilizers around it. I do think it's a 2-year
Right.
injury you come back from.
Yeah, no question. So that's where I think it is fair to at least question physically. Yes, JK always wants the rock. I mean, my goodness, remember him tweeting and clapping back at Ian Rappaport in mid-July about
Oh
the fact
yeah.
that,
He wants it. He wants it. He really does.
but Rappaport was right. And it wasn't even, he wasn't hating on him. It was
No.
information he got from the team, which was correct, by the way. So he's not going to tell you that he's not going to tell you that he isn't ready for a bigger workload. Are the Ravens trying to protect him and Edwards to some degree? Is that a factor? That's why I asked. And,
Right.
Greg Roman
But
didn't really
you
answer
still
it.
had
It.
a fresh Justin Hill on the
Oh,
bench
sure.
who still
No
had
doubt.
the most burst on the team, right? And I know he
No doubt.
fumbled a couple times
I was gonna
and
say some ball security issues too, sure. But
we know
yes, I hear you.
how Coach Harbaugh looks at that, but quickly we've talked about the wide receiver position ad nauseam. This team looked a lot better early in the season where Rashad Bateman was playing. He was a difference maker. They drafted him to be, and you and I talked ad nauseam about them not replacing Hollywood Brown. Now, when the Ravens picked David Ojabo, I was thrilled he was still there, but I'm thinking he's not going to help them this year. Their immediate need is a
No.
wide receiver. And I'm not saying that I would have traded up to pick George Pickens, because we have the luxury of hindsight, right? But to watch George Pickens, get the jump balls over Marlon Humphrey, and David Ojabo may very well have a much better career long term than George Pickens. He could, and he could not, but you and I talked about it. This team went all in on Rashard Bateman, Devin Duvernay, James Proche stepping up, Tylan Wallace stepping up, right? And I forget who else, but it doesn't matter. And now we have fans clamoring about Andy Isabella. I mean, Andy Isabella hasn't, I mean, come on now. He hasn't done anything in this league to prove he belongs on a starting 53-man roster. But so what does Eric DaCosta do this offseason, Luke, since they apparently can't draft a wide receiver? Does he trade a first and a third for a proven wide receiver that can catch the damn ball? You get a wide receiver one. You hope Rashard Bateman can stay healthy. And now at least you have two potential wide receiver ones. And you give this offense, whether it's Greg Roman or somebody else running it, and if it's Lamar Jackson quarterback or somebody else again,
Yeah, who
everything is
knows?
up in the air, right? But they have to get this offense into the modern era.
They do. And I mean, and it doesn't mean that it has to look exactly like other offenses, but you can't. I wrote it earlier this week. The Ravens are at this point in time, they are towing a very fine line. And I don't even know if they're towing it. I think they've fallen off that fine line between zigging while everyone else zags and being in denial. The passing game is too important in the modern NFL, and to some degree it's always been important, even if it wasn't as important in the 1970s, right? I mean, the Steelers ran the ball a ton. They still had Terry Bradshaw at quarterback, right? I mean, they still had Lynn Swann, they still had John Stallworth, like it's not as though they didn't make plays in the passing game. But yeah, it's beside the point.
And
But
again,
I think
you're talking back in the late 70s, Luke. Stallworth and Swann
sure.
could catch jump balls. They were athletic. You can look
Yeah.
at the Bengals, Tyler Boyd, T. Higgins, Ja'Marr Chase. Joe Burrow is a very good quarterback. I get that. But he also has tremendous athletes at the wide
Sure.
receiver position. Would
Right.
Lamar Jackson look better if he could just chuck it up there in anywhere near those guys and be a historically good quarterback? He could.
I'd sure like to find out before I give him
Well,
$200 million or whatever it is, right? I mean, I'd like to find out. I'd like to find out what he looks like with a different offensive coordinator with an offense that,
in
let's be
Baltimore,
clear,
in
I would.
Baltimore versus someplace else, right? I'd like to find that out here in
Sure.
Baltimore than in Tampa Bay or New York or wherever his next destination may be. And that's the thing. The one thing we also saw, Luke, was that it wasn't Lamar Jackson's fault that the plays were getting off late. It was not the quarterback. It
Yeah.
was the coordinator. It's the offensive, whatever you're going to call it. But it's amazing that he and Tyler Huntley and whoever else you put in there is going to have the same lack of success in getting the ball off in time.
Yeah, there's something I totally agree. Something I want to go back that you mentioned about Eric DaCosta. And there's, look, there are lots of things that he's done well.
And I like DaCosta, like
one,
you. I like
sure,
Eric. I do.
Sure.
I do. I'm not
you
a,
know,
we love the Ravens. For people listening, you know, this is not a hate on the Ravens. I'm a fan. You know, I love them. Luke loves them. We love covering them. But there's some obvious flaws that anyone can see.
Well, it's just like you just said. I mean, hey, if you have a family member that's not doing things the way they should be doing it, sometimes you have to have a tough talk, right? I mean, because you care about them. But
sure.
Something about Eric DaCosta that has bothered me. And, you know, look, we can do the Ravens drafts constantly get praised by national types and before it's, you know, we know the unknown, whatever, you know, put aside all those things. Something that has concerned me, and we've talked about this isn't going to be something new that I bring up to you, Dennis, is I look at how each of the last three off seasons have played out, and the Ravens have made a trade in each of those three off seasons, a notable trade in each of those three off seasons. And to be very clear, they've gotten good value in each of those trades. However, go back to the off season leading into 2020, the Ravens traded Hayden Hurst. Now, is Hayden Hurst an all-pro tight end? No, of course not. I'm not suggesting anything of that nature. However, when you look at how the Ravens profiled in 2019, they had their three-headed monster at tight end. They had one wide receiver that they really liked in Hollywood Brown, but it was Hollywood Brown and Mark Andrews, 1 and 1A, however you wanted to describe them in the pecking order. And, you know, maybe Andrews 1, Hollywood 2. And Hayden Hurst was probably the closest that they came to a third option that you like. You know, and again, I think he caught 30 passes. It wasn't like it was this massive production. However, what did we talk about then over the course of the 2020 season? As much as you liked Marquise Brown and Mark Andrews, they kind of lacked that third guy. I mean, remember, they bring in Dez Bryant. You know, Willie Snead at times could be that guy, but, you know, that's fleeting with those types of guys. We really said that they kind of missed that dynamic that they had. So they made a trade of Hayden Hurst. They got good value. Let's be clear about that. What? I believe it was the Dobbins. Wasn't Dobbins someone they drafted with one of the
yes.
picks they got? I think. I could be wrong about that. And again, I'm just going off my memory. But so you had that. Last year, they traded Orlando Brown. They got good value, regardless of the fact that Adafe Owe at this point is not looking like he's, you know, not a first-round pick that you're encouraged by at this point, if we're calling a spade, good value. What was one of their fatal flaws last year? Left tackle and the lack of depth and not having a plan B for Ronnie Stanley, and Alejandro Villanueva really tried hard, but he wasn't the guy for that. So they made that trade, and they opened up another hole. Come to this year. Again, considering where Marquise Brown was with his demands, considering where he was going to be contractually.
Sure.
I never at all thought that the Ravens should sign him as an individual to that long-term extension for a wide receiver. I didn't think he was the right player, you know, for that specific contract. However, you traded him, got great value, got a first-round pick, right? Tyler Linderbaum, you know, I think looks good. You know, I'm not ready to say it's an all-time great Ravens draft pick, but he looks like he's on the right track, and that's fine. Well, you opened up another hole. I feel Eric DaCosta at times is looking through such a long-term lens for this football team that it's becoming detrimental in the present for them a little bit too much than you'd like it to see. You know, it's kind of like that rebuilding franchise. Not that the Ravens are rebuilding, but news baseball is a perfect example. The Orioles are a great example of this right now. You know, there was so much excitement about how they finished 2022. And, you know, Mike Elias famously saying at the trade deadline, lift off from here, all of that. And then you've heard him talk this year at the league meetings, the winter meetings, and kind of walk that back a little bit, saying, we don't know if we're really quite ready to really compete and win the AL East. We want to, you know, we'll compete for a wild card, but we don't know if we're ready to really go toe to toe with the Yankees. And look, deep down, that's probably true if we're being realistic about it. However, why people are so skeptical of these long-term plans is teams And I'm not saying Eric DaCosta is doing this in any kind of a way that, to the detriment, that he's willingly being detrimental for, he's not sabotaging them. Let's be clear about that. But when people are skeptical, is if you're always playing for the future always stays out in front and you never really get there.
Yes.
And that's where I kind of, in some ways I feel that's where the Ravens are from the standpoint of Lamar Jackson's rookie contract is done now.
Yep. They missed the window. They really
He's
did.
He's going to be really whether you tag him, whether you extend him, or if it comes down to eventually you're moving on from him, it doesn't feel like you've taken advantage of that the way that you should
sure.
have. And I think some of these moves that have been made with such a long-term view might turn out great for you, but at sometimes, draft picks are, let's be clear, getting great value, like you mentioned, talking about delay of games and time of possession and things of that nature, getting great value at the end of the day doesn't guarantee wins. And when you've had some of these players like an Orlando Brown, and I get it, he requests a trade, but sometimes you can just tell a guy, hey, you're under contract, tough. Regardless, the point is, if you're so focused out on the long term that sometimes, you're going to leave yourself short. You're going to continue to leave yourself short in the present. So I think Eric DaCosta has had a little bit of a struggle with that at times. And that doesn't mean I think he should be fired. Doesn't mean I think he's a lousy GM. I think he's a pretty good GM. I think he's a good GM. I don't know where he ranks. I don't think he's the best in the league. I certainly don't think he's the worst or anything like that. He's also a young GM, from the standpoint of, he was Ozzie's right-hand man for years, but it's different when you're in the captain's chair. I think anyone who's in a leadership position would tell you that. So I think it's something, hopefully, going back to your question about wide receiver, they need to address this thing. Because I would even say, and this is even from a very pro-Lamar standpoint, I want to see what Lamar Jackson looks like in an offense with a different coordinator. That doesn't mean it changes dramatically. I still think the run is still going to be something that's really important to them. But my goodness, you need to be a more productive passing game. And I want to see him as a passer take a step forward from the standpoint of, Dennis, he's had a lower body leg injury each of the last two Decembers now. And he's not looking like someone who's necessarily an extremely fast healer in that way. And I don't mean that as a knock at Lamar. And I don't think he's not suggesting he's jaking it or anything like that, but he's 25. He's going to be 26 next month. That issue is probably not going to get any better at the very least. It might stay the same. And look, I still think Lamar's going to be really fast and really athletic for at least a few more years. But what does he look like at age 29 if he's not going to take a step forward as a passer? What does that look like at age 31? That's where you kind of look at this thing is before I commit that kind of a long-term extension, I'd like to find out. And that's why this year feels like such a disappointment in that way. This is the year to really find that out. And look, some lousy luck losing Bateman, but they weren't prepared either.
No.
You can't tell me that any team loses their top wide receiver, that it's okay that you then become what they become, which is in terms of passing efficiency, DVOA, they're 29th in the NFL since the first 3 weeks of the season. That's efficiency. That's not talking about passing volume. That's efficiency. That means given game script and down and distance and all those different things, how are you doing on a play-by-play basis? They've been one of the absolute worst in the league. Look, if you lose your top wide receiver, I don't expect you to be, still to be a top three passing game, but I don't think you should fall to, much more than maybe middle of the pack. I mean, look at how Cincinnati did without Jamar Chase. It's not as though they fell apart without him. And I get it.
Well,
T. Higgins is the number
Higgins,
one.
Tyler Boyd.
Yeah. Well, look, you need depth.
Again, we've talked about Harry Roseman, the job he's done with Philadelphia. You got a quarterback under his rookie contract. Not only do you draft Devontae Smith, you go and trade for A.J. Brown.
Sure.
Oh, and you also have Dallas Goedert. You got Booby Miles Sanders in the backfield. And the kid takes the next step, right? So you put the pieces around him to have a shot to host the NFC Championship game and hopefully get to the Super Bowl. Now, the Ravens have drafted well. They have a couple of really good draft classes back-to-back. So I think they can go out and get some veterans next year. Cap space, I know they have the headache with Lamar Jackson's contract. You got Roquan Smith. But at this point, I would like to see draft picks traded for a wide receiver one. I don't know I think if they don't do that, just that, I think their off season is going to be a disaster.
I mean, it just comes down to Nestor and I argue about this all the time. And when I say argue, in good fun, but you just get to a point where, and I've written this, I've talked about it, I've been a broken record. You know, I there's nothing I'd like more to not have to talk about wide receiver. That's why I was encouraged at the end of last season that they had Marquise Brown and Rashad Bateman and
But look at Tom Brady.
But the
great Tom Brady was bitching up a storm up in New England because he felt like the GM, which was Bill Belichick, wouldn't get him enough tools. This is Tom Brady, right? He's a goat. If Tom Brady's thinking that way, why wouldn't Lamar Jackson think that way? You know, who am I throwing it to? You're lessening my talent, and you make me look bad. You're costing me money because I have no one to throw it to.
Yeah, no question about it.
As a human being, and I'm not suggesting he's thinking that way, but you know what? It's not a stretch to say, well, maybe in a different offense, I can maximize my talents, my income, having fun. You know, Hollywood Brown won it out because he wasn't having fun in this offense, and who could blame him? Sammy Watkins, you know, he doesn't look thrilled about coming to Baltimore, right? He gets to come to Baltimore to do what? Block for Gus Edwards and J.K. Dobbins, right?
Although, as Sammy pointed out, he was happy because he has a job. I mean, let's face it, that Green Bay offense was lacking wide receivers, so it's kind of beggars can't be choosers for either party.
But you all said Aaron Rodgers throwing to you, right? You don't have Anthony Brown and Snoop Huntley throwing the ball to you in a run-first offense. So that's my point. At what point do we start having fun and built this team to maximize it? They missed their window. That's obvious.
And that's what's frustrating. And that's where you look at this thing, something's got to give. And that is not at all me suggesting that you blow it up entirely. But
you and I can go back. It's fair to go back to Joe Flacco. You gave the guy, the Brinks truck, but you gave him Griff Whalen, Michael Campanaro and company at wide receiver. What did you do to help Joe Flacco?
You backed up the Brinks truck for him. And the first thing you did was trade his top wide receiver.
Oh, man.
So I hear you.
Who does that, right? Who does it? It's frustrating.
But what you just mentioned, I think that's what makes this a very fascinating offseason, Dennis. Look, I'm not going to speak for Lamar Jackson. No one in the media speaks for Lamar Jackson. We've talked about it, how he keeps a famously very close to the vest, very tight inner circle, to the point where I don't think the Ravens know what he's thinking half the time. And whether that's good or bad, it is what it is. However, if you and I are recognizing all of this, Lamar and the people around him that he does listen to, whoever they might be, they're seeing this too. Dennis, this is going to be a heck of an interesting offseason. Assuming the Ravens aren't raising the Lombardi in early February and Lamar's not going on a Joe Flacco-like run, which, let's face it, Joe Flacco had Anquan Boldin and Torrey Smith and Jacoby Jones and Dennis Pitta and Ray Rice.
Yeah, he did. He had some weapons. Matt McKinney at left tackle playing. They won a role.
Yeah.
Different story there.
This team has an offensive line and a running game. Other than that, and Mark Andrews, if there wasn't so much attention being devoted to him. So assuming they don't go on that run, and look, I'm not exactly betting my stock of Christmas presents on it this winter.
Wise move.
So assuming they don't, it's going to be a really interesting offseason, Dennis. It really is. And I think Greg Roman's kind of the obvious one. I mean, I'd be very surprised if he's back. And I don't know that with any inside information. I think you just have to look at this and say the status quo can't go on. And again, I don't think it's remotely all Greg Roman's fault, but you can't fire everyone else.
Yeah, he didn't look. He's not doing the drafting right.
Sure.
And had he had his way, he wouldn't have drafted an injured defensive end right in the second round. He would have drafted a wide receiver one potential. So it's not his fault, but the staleness. The same thing with Wink Martindale a year ago. Something had to give, and we don't wish anything bad on the guy. Hopefully they figure it out for his sake, his family's sake, but it's hard to imagine him being back next year.
Yeah, I think so. So, but what does that mean in terms of hiring another offensive coordinator when, okay, you have Lamar Jackson, but he's not signed long-term. You look at the weapons and you say, well, there's not a whole lot in this passing game to hang your hat on other than throwing the ball to Mark Andrews. And okay, Rashad Bateman, he's coming back. He's had two injury plagued seasons to start his NFL career. So who are you going to entice? And the big question here, and you know, I'm just posing a question here. That doesn't mean that I'm predicting this or I'm anticipating this, but What's to say that Lamar Jackson has the same level of confidence in the organization at this point? And you throw in the fact that potentially a franchise tag, Dennis, there's a lot that could happen this offseason and a lot that could be not so good for the Baltimore Ravens. So, you know, it's tough. It's where we, as we finish up our conversation, because I know I've gone long in my time here, but
we always do.
We do, and it's fine. And I enjoy it, to be very clear.
Likewise.
But this is where we remind everyone they are 9-5. They are in a position still to make the playoffs. I fully expect them to make the playoffs. I don't think they're going to lose the final three games here. I do still think Lamar Jackson's going to come back, even if I thought maybe it might be this week. But, boy, it's tough not to look into this offseason and really kind of brace yourself. At the very least, I'd say buckle up because it's going to be interesting. You know, I don't think this is going to be as seamless as, oh, you know, everything's fine and Lamar's just going to sign on the dotted line and we're just going to proceed as we have the last few years. I think we'll see some changes in terms of offensive coordinator, you know, maybe a coordinator coming in with hopefully maybe some assistance, you know, with them with some new ideas. And again, I know these, you know, one thing that's tough that I don't want to say it's tough because it's a blessing to do what I do and to have the access I do, but you know, I see these as human beings. You know, Greg
Sure.
Roman's a human being.
Absolutely.
You know, these coaches are human beings. These players are human beings. And yes, they're well compensated. And yes, they're in a very cutthroat, high demand, results oriented business. There's no question about that. And they all signed up for that. Let's be very clear about that. But when you do look at this thing and you just kind of say, is this really going in the right direction? I mean, my goodness, it was a historic offense in 2019. Boy, it was fun. And boy, that was a special team. But from the moment they lost to the Tennessee Titans, you know, that's why I wasn't quite as all gung-ho as people that were trying to. And, you know, everyone's just trying to cope with it, right? And everyone said, well, they're a year ahead of schedule.
I was one
There's
of those
no
people. I made that
league,
comment,
and
you know,
and
forgetting that
right,
the league.
And I'm not picking.
Look,
and to be clear,
But the league catches up. The league catches up, right?
Yeah.
No matter how revolutionary you think you are, these defensive coordinators, they get film on you. You know, the league catches up to everyone. And then you have to adjust again. It's not a bad thing. It's just it's facts.
Yeah. Sure. And it's looking more and more like that 2019 team truly is a lot like that 2006 team that went what, 13-3 that year?
Yeah.
And lost to Indy in the divisional round. And a year later, Brian Billick was gone. And to be clear, I'm not even saying that about John Harbaugh. I'm just saying that sometimes you've get some really golden opportunities in this league, and if you don't,
yep,
you don't catch lightning in a bottle, it's too late. And I feel as the Ravens are presently constructed with a Greg Roman offense, this idea of, you know, zigging while everyone else zags and running the ball, and we don't care about wide receivers, and not that they don't care, they've drafted receivers, but not clearly not putting the same level of resources into the wide receiver position that other teams have with quarterbacks on a rookie contract. But
yeah,
you know, you kind of just look at this thing and something's got to give. And I don't know how dramatic that comment's going to become. I mean, like I said, if Lamar Jackson comes in the day after the season and says, I want out.
Yep.
That's devastating.
It changes.
But would I be shocked by that?
No.
At this point, no.
Not only that, but if you get three firsts and 2 seconds for him, you say, you know what, okay, you know, we blow this thing up on the offensive side of the ball, you franchise Roquan Smith, and you just – they have a contingency plan, Luke, and they keep rolling with that. But, look, it's going to be a very volatile offseason for sure.
Yeah, but even with that scenario, and again, that's the worst-case scenario at this point, right? I mean, even with that scenario, boy, they need to learn their lesson. They didn't learn their lesson at the end of the Joe Flacco era to the way that they need to the degree that they needed to. And they haven't learned their lesson this time around because and even for those people that are more skeptical and critical of Lamar and saying, you know, would he really fully take advantage of having a number one wide receiver? You know what? I'd want to find out at the very least. And if
100%.
That's the case, then, you know, you don't then, you know, it's investing in a long term deal probably isn't a great investment in him.
So you franchise him, get him a wide receiver one and see what you have. Yeah. The other thing is, Luke, is they need to realize that just because you have a bunch of great wide receivers doesn't mean you don't run the ball. The Eagles run the ball with Miles Sanders. The Bengals run the ball with Joe Mixon. So the Ravens could have two, three wide receivers that are really good and still have J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards. It doesn't
no
take
doubt.
You away from who you are. It just makes you better.
Right. And that's what ticks me off, because I feel it's become such a disingenuous argument against, where people are like, well, Lamar shouldn't be throwing the ball 45 times. No, that's not what anyone has said. And anyone who's saying that, again, you're either being disingenuous or you're being obtuse about it, because no one has ever said that. Let's be clear. I'm not sure that that's not the formula for anyone other than maybe Patrick Mahomes, who is in a
Right.
class of his own
Right.
at this point in time. You need balance. There's no question, but
You're
balance doesn't, I mean, it's just,
you're trying to
it somewhat
score.
frustrates
See,
me.
you're trying to score points. I think that's what people miss. You're trying
Yes.
to score points by
Yes.
any means necessary.
Yeah.
Ground, air, it doesn't matter, right? It doesn't matter long drives, short drives. What matters is, are you putting up points on the board on your possessions? Period.
Yeah.
We watched last year, we watched the what were the Bills, seven straight touchdown drives against the Patriots, right? Who cares how they did it? I can't tell you if Josh Allen threw for four touchdowns and they ran for the three. It doesn't matter. What matters is they scored on seven possessions, seven straight possessions. They came up with seven freaking touchdowns. Who does that? And who cares?
Yeah. And hey, the Ravens did a lot of that in 2019, but that was 3 years ago. We can't keep
Agreed.
talking in the terms of like that. This offense is just going to become that again. Marshall Yonde is not walking through the door. Go down the
No.
list of guys that aren't walking through the door.
Sure.
And as you mentioned, the league's caught up to
It's
it.
caught up.
So this is where the Ravens need to pivot. Doesn't mean you change dramatically, but you have to adjust.
100%. Luke, always great having you on. You and I always go over. We should probably have just
Way over.
a kill switch or a buzzer, but I appreciate you. Please tell our listeners all the great stuff you do for WNST and Baltimore Positive.
Absolutely. I encourage everyone to follow us on Twitter at WNST. You can follow me personally at Baltimore Luke, because I'll be downtown at the stadium. Ravens trying to improve to 10-5, potentially clinching a playoff spot with a win and a little bit of help. So plenty of excitement in that regard. Check out my blog at baltimorepositive.com, sponsored by Coons Baltimore Ford. The latest 12 Ravens thoughts, five predictions for Sunday. Also, my post-game reaction, a little bit of a different schedule with Christmas coming up here over the coming days. So, but plenty of great coverage as the Ravens try to clinch their spot in the playoffs, try to get Lamar Jackson healthy, and try to finish off this season with what is still looking like a potential AFC North championship game in week 18. You want to be on the WNST Baltimore Positive.com tech service, sponsored by Coons Ford of Baltimore. Game day inactives, final injury report, any other significant injury updates, any significant roster moves, any notable local sports news sent directly to your mobile device via the WNST Baltimore Positive tech service, sponsored by Coons Baltimore Ford. And of course, anything throughout the week on AM 1570 with Nestor. Ravens players and coaches interviews from Owings Mills, and of course, post game reaction. Check out all of that at baltimorepositive.com. And Dennis, Merry Christmas to you, and have a great holiday. And as we reconvene next week, hopefully we'll be talking about a 10-5 Ravens team, and hopefully getting Lamar Jackson back on the field, because, hey, he's their best player. He's their most exciting player. I think everyone misses him at this point.
Absolutely. And Merry Christmas to your family, Luke, particularly your sister and your brother-in-law. I know it's a special Christmas for your family.
Thanks a lot, Dennis. Be well. Happy holidays to you. We'll talk next week.
You got it, my friend. There it goes. Luke Jones here, 1570 AM WNST. We'll take a quick break and come back right after this.